How do you spin news? A primer, next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. And along with me today is the co-host of our show, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
And Barry, it's great to be back with you, as always. Merry Christmas to you and everyone out there in WLRY land as you're hopefully home or getting ready to go home and getting ready to celebrate with your families the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. However you may do that, if you have a joyous Christian celebration of his birth or if you just sort of relax and don't do much at all, whatever you do, keep in mind that Jesus is the reason for the season.
Absolutely, Charles. We have hope as Christians because God fulfilled his promise to send his son to fulfill the righteousness of his perfect law on our behalf and have that fulfillment imputed to us for righteousness before a holy God. And so we're grateful and thankful to him for that. And, you know, Chuck, that's right. This season is not a presence under the tree or the tree itself or a jolly man and all dressed, decked out in red with a full of reindeer. It's about a tiny infant laying in a crib, a manger, who had a destiny that opened the way for us to be reconciled with God the Father.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, Barry. And at a one time, we had a very small gathering at my church at our evening service because a lot of people are sick. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're sick out there, may God have mercy on you and bring his healing hand and bring comfort to you, the great physician. But that being said, we had a nice little time in lieu of a lesson tonight. We had a nice time of prayer and carol singing. Actually, not everything we sang was carol. We sang hymns as well. So it was a very nice time, and we had a very nice prayer meeting and a nice small little gathering this evening.
Well, excellent. We're taping this Christmas Eve program on Sunday night, and I will be celebrating with our church on Christmas morning as we're going to have a special breakfast service Christmas morning at our church. So I'm looking forward to that, and so is my family. But you know, Chuck, in the meantime, we're going to be talking about a couple of issues over the next couple of days, and it's kind of a primer. We want to help our listeners understand how to read skewed media, how to read, I might as well just go ahead and say it, pure propaganda masquerading as news. Some may think that that's what we do here on the show, but that's beside the point.
You know what, Barry? There's a difference. And you know what the difference is? You and I admit our presuppositions up front.
Oh, absolutely.
When you come listen to our program, you are listening to our opinions as we see them through a specific type of Christian worldview. You and I are Reformed Christians. We are bringing that particular viewpoint to the table, and we have made no bones about that. We have not attempted to hide it. We have not attempted to say that we are reporting the unbiased facts. We are examining what has been reported and finding the bias that we see in other reports, or sometimes we are attempting to pick out the gems of truth from the ocean of lies or half-truths or misstatements or deliberate obfuscation that we see out there in the news. News people really want to make a claim that they are coming to you, they're coming through this facade of objectivity. To be quite honest, Barry, in any reporting, there is no such thing as pure objectivity. I have written things, and mostly opinion pieces. I took journalism in high school. I was the assistant editor of the Lakewood High School newspaper for a quarter. And I can tell you right up front, they can teach you to be as objective as possible, but you cannot come outside of yourself to write a story. It simply can't be done. And anybody that thinks that when they read the New York Times or the Washington Post or the Atlanta Journal-Constitution or the Columbus Dispatch or the Cleveland Plain Dealer, name your paper, the Cincinnati Inquirer, that what they are getting is unfiltered news, even though sometimes the newspapers make that claim. And the ones that get me are, for instance, the people that come out and make silly statements about For instance, the truth comes out of CNN, but Fox News, the news is all biased. I hate to tell you this, both are biased.
Oh, absolutely.
They have different biases, and that's the issue. The issue is that journalists want to claim that if they come to it with a socialist worldview, a socialist globalist worldview, that is the only viable worldview. That is the worldview you get from NPR in its extreme. That's the viewpoint you get from CBS. That's the viewpoint you get from NBC. That's the viewpoint you get from ABC. That's the viewpoint you get from CNN. The reason that very often they report the news in the same way, they all have the same worldview, and they trade reporters back and forth. For instance, Jake Tapper, who was, I think, the White House correspondent for ABC,
yes,
just went to CNN. Well, okay, what's the difference? He probably got more money at CNN.
I was going to say a bigger paycheck. That's what the difference is.
Now, I don't see how that's possible, honestly. CNN is a rapidly sinking star, and we've seen why with the likes of Piers Morgan that nobody watches, and yet he attacks people who have a different worldview. And as you and I both know, Larry Pratt, whom he attacked openly and called him stupid and said he was one of the worst representatives for the viewpoint of his country that was imaginable. The fact is that Piers Morgan has a specific worldview. It is a socialist worldview. He comes from Britain. He has no compunction against tapping phones to get stories that he wants. In fact, one of the reasons that Piers is here and not in Great Britain is that because he's in a great deal of trouble in Great Britain. Because when he worked for Rupert Murdoch, interestingly, who owns Fox News, when he worked for Rupert Murdoch, he was involved in tapping into people's cell phones.
Uh-huh.
You may have heard about this scandal. It's not confined. It's England, Australia, a lot of the places where the tabloids like The Sun, The Daily Mail, the UK Daily Mail, who we reported stories out of. But you have to remember the UK Daily Mail and The Sun are all tabloids. So they tend to be sensationalistic. That's why we saw some of those headlines last week.
Of course.
But Piers Morgan is in trouble in Britain. So he's very happy to be on this side of the ocean. Now, what he wants to do is be able to bring the same type of journalism here that he used over there. And I would say thank you very much. It's bad enough dealing with what we have, you know, journalists going through trash cans and that kind of thing. So one of the differences here that we got to talk about is the fact that is Fox News biased? The answer is yes. Does it have a different bias? Yes. Now, Fox News does not take on some of the reporters. They don't instantly take on a reporter from the mainstream media. They brought it. Remember, if you remember, when Juan Williams got fired for telling the truth at PBS, he got pilloried for saying something truthful. Well, Fox News picked him up, but he's still kind of out of the mainstream over at Fox News because Fox News has a more left-center view than a far-left view. And by far-left, I mean globalist socialist. If anybody that thinks that Fox News has a right-wing extremist viewpoint doesn't know much about right-wing extremism, having stood in that particular box, I can tell you that Bill O'Reilly is nothing like a right-winger.
No, and I believe that many people are starting to figure that out.
Yeah, a number of people. Chris Wallace, even though he was far more center than his father ever had been, and believe me, I knew people who had worked as producers for Mike Wallace. You did too, Barry. You had met Alan Stang, had you not?
Yes.
Alan Stang had been a producer for Mike Wallace in the 1960s, in the early 60s. I don't know if you knew that or not.
No, I was not aware of that.
Yes, he acted as a producer for Mike Wallace. And he could tell you stories about Mike Wallace that would sort of surprise the average person who knows Mike Wallace from 60 Minutes, the late Mike Wallace, who's recently passed away. He was in his 90s. But a lot of people who thought he was an unbiased journalist, and Alan Stang would laugh and say, ha ha, yeah, that's a joke. He goes, I produced some of his programs. I could tell you. Because Alan Stang,
well, you know, Chuck,
Alan Stang was a convert to conservatism, to constitutionalism. I don't like that phrase, conservatism. He was a convert to constitutionalism, and actually, Alan Stang was also, now get this, Alan Stang went from Reformed Judaism to Primitive Baptism.
Wow.
Alan Stang was a Primitive Baptist when he died. That's a really long story, and much of the credit goes to his wife, Gail. And, well, someday maybe we'll interview Gail or something, you know, one of the family members. But Alan Stang was not always a constitutionalist conservative. At one point, he was a reformed Jewish liberal from New York. So he could tell you a lot of things. Unfortunately, he has also passed away. But he could tell you many, many stories about some of these guys and some of the trickery they used when they produced these stories. This was when Wallace was working as a radio reporter and also doing some of his early TV stuff. So, is there bias in the news? Yes. Is it rampant? Yes. And do you have to constantly keep your ears open? Can you believe things that you see, things that you read? And the answer is only if you filter it properly.
And that's exactly what I was thinking of, Chuck, is that this is where we are blessed to live in such a time as this, because we have the ability to be able to discern more clearly and carefully, and to, as the Bible says, for us to be like the men of Issachar who understand the times and know what they should do, that we have access to multiple viewpoints, opinions, and takes or angles on each and every story if we're willing to do some of the work to dig them up. That's the reason why, Chuck, I've always been very, very cautious and hesitant about what I write and what I put out there, trying to be as accurate as possible, because it really is very easy that if you decide to be sloppy or decide to do something where you're flaunting your bias, so to speak, in an unjust fashion, because at least if you're honest with it up front, then that's fine if you want to flaunt your bias because you've told us up front your bias. But if you're trying to hide behind the facade of objectivity and spewing out your particular bias, well, that's not very honest and it's not very just. So we have that opportunity now through the internet, through numerous talk media, through the access to worldwide print media, because something runs in the Columbus Dispatch and we're not sure that, you know, this is the actual scoop. We can always look in local papers, or if it's a national story, look at the way other national media outlets have covered it, and always find that because journalists are always wanting to have that exclusive, they're always wanting to be able to find something that no one else found. Pretty soon, when you start filtering all of this, you start seeing what the real picture really looks like, because you start filtering out. You cross-filter the biases against each other.
Well, let's take for instance, I think it was, was it Woodward or Bernstein who wrote the book on Casey, the CIA chief, the former CIA chief?
I think it was Bob Woodward.
It was Bob Woodward, and he claimed to have interviewed Casey. And the dates given for the interviews, Casey was in a coma. He had a brain tumor. He was dying of a brain tumor. And he claimed to have interviewed Casey during this period while he was in the hospital. And in fact, he was in a coma and he did not interview him. He still claims to this day that he did. And that is the kind of bias, Barry, that is just very blatant. But there's other kinds of bias. For instance, the work that Woodward did on the Watergate thing now looks very tainted because of who Deep Throat was. It was a guy named Mark Felt who was essentially angry because he didn't get J. Edgar Hoover's job. He had been like the number two or number three agent in D.C., and he assumed he was going to become the FBI director, and when he didn't, he got mad. But in reality, what you have to look for, that kind of bias is very not subtle. It's in your face.
That's true.
Now, what you have to look for, though, is the very subtle bias, and it's the use of words. It's how you use words, how you put them together, how you string them together, that can create pictures, prejudicial pictures in a person's mind. Now, I think over the next 2 days, we are going to look at something I think personally is positive, although we're going to look at some negative views of what that positive thing is.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're going to look at something very negative and a refutation of the negativity of that article. That also uses a little bit of spin in itself.
Yes, so, it does.
Yeah. So we're going to do a couple of things to try to show you how to try to start filtering out those particular things. So that being said, I'm going to ask you to join us again tomorrow on Christmas Day. If you're busy, we understand. It'll be available in archive on our website, www.principledpolicy.com. But join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.